Presented by T-Mobile, the official wireless partner of Odyssey Sports. With an awesome network and great savings, there's never been a better time to join T-Mobile. Visit your neighborhood store to make the switch today.
Hey, it's Sprague here. Really appreciate you listening. You're about to get some podcast excellence. It's presented by Les Schwab Tires, doing the right thing since 1952.
All right, welcome back in. On the line, excited for this one, is Radio.com Sports NBA Insider Brian Scalabrine. Insider calls are brought to you by Midsize Metric from Mercedes-Benz Vans. You can give Brian a follow on Twitter, at Scalabrine. Brian, we always appreciate the time, man. Talk some NBA and stuff. Looking at the sport right now, us here in Portland, we're a little frustrated. Season's not going off getting off to the start that we all thought it would. What are your thoughts on the Blazers early on in the season and then the addition of Carmelo Anthony and him being named Western Conference Player of the Week?
Well, first of all, it's like, I'm not trying to like disrespect Carmelo Anthony. I think he was great for you guys. And the idea that you guys won three games in a row, that was important, and winning is, it does matter. But I think it was a little bit of a pity vote. There are so many better players in the Western Conference, but you know what? That's what we do here in America. You build a guy up, you tear him down. You build him up, you tear him down. And he was down and out, and everyone had his back. Portland gave him a shot. So I sort of, in a weird way, commend the league for reminding everybody, like, once a guy is out, don't necessarily count him out. But if you just look at the numbers, he definitely doesn't deserve it. But he is, at least, he's a little bit of a shining moment for your season, which has been very disappointing, which I kind of expected. Like, I'm not a big Hassan Whiteside fan, and I'm not trying to, like, I just don't think that he was going to come in and, and run that offense at Terry Stotts where the ball goes side to side and there's quick decisions from the big. You know, I don't know when Nurkic is coming back, but if you guys, it's going to be a tough year without Nurkic on that team.
Well, and I did want to ask you about that, too, because we've kind of viewed the year at the start. I mean, they signed Carmelo, and you mentioned they won three games over, like, Chicago and Oklahoma City, which, I mean, if you're Portland, those are honestly games you probably should win. But we've kind of viewed this year potentially as a chance for a big boost for them long term, because a lot of these guys, you know, Hassan's on an expiring contract. Bazemore hasn't fit that well. He's an expiring contract. The Nurkic injury, he's going to be out most of the year. And Zach Collins now out basically the entire year. Do you think that can end up being a positive for them? If this thing really does crash into the side of a mountain, that maybe, hey, you just kind of hit the reset button, you get a top 10 pick potentially out of it, and you go from there.
Yeah, see, that's the thing about the NBA is you are rewarded for being bad. And I know these guys are going to go out there and try to win, and Damian Lillard is going to try to win. And they, to their credit, they have played a lot of road games. So there is some hope there. But the deal is, yeah, I agree. With Nurkic at $12 million bucks, that's one of the best bargains in the NBA. You know, you have your guys that you've paid, but you will have some cap space and some maneuverability moving forward once these guys are expiring. And then I'm a huge Zach Collins fan, I just think that he's perfect for today's NBA. You bring Nurk back and you're going forward. You do need a top pick. Maybe you move that pick for another guy, but you're probably 1.5 players away, which is totally feasible. This is why I wouldn't like hit the panic button if I'm Portland. Having a down year like what the Golden State Warriors are doing this
year
is not the worst thing moving forward, especially when you go all the way to, you know, they've been good for so long.
Yeah, we're talking with Brian Scalabrine, one of our favorites when we get him on. He also hosts the Scal and Pals podcast. Go check him out on Twitter at Scalabrine. I did want to ask you, man, there's something happened in the NBA last night. The James Harden dunk, like I don't know if I've ever seen that before where it goes through, comes out, they don't count it. Have you seen that? And been, what did you make of that whole situation in the Houston game last night?
Well, yeah, no, I haven't seen that. I'm surprised there's no precedence on this with the NBA where they could just, like, of all the things, think about, like, I call games for the Boston Celtics. That's what I do also with the Scal and Pals radio show. I also call games. And with all the things that we review, and all the time that we spend doing things, why couldn't they just simply go to the monitor and say, like, okay, that's a bucket, let's move on. Now, interesting part of it. No, I mean, I'm serious.
It's so true, I know.
I don't understand, like, of all the things that are reviewable and not reviewable, how about just getting it right? Whatever right is, just get it right. And I've heard that they're going to replay. Like, it's not a for certain yet. And Houston is protesting, saying that they should be able to replay the last 7 minutes of this game. And Houston absolutely fell apart after that one play. They just saying, you know, whatever. It's amazing how one play in the NBA, and a lot of people would watch the NBA and say, oh, it only mattered what happens in the fourth quarter or the last 2 minutes of the game. But no, like, that caused them to fall apart, and it gave San Antonio an incredible amount of momentum. But what we really should be talking about is, does anybody like to watch James Harden miss all those shots and still score 50 points? Or
no.
Russell Westbrook getting triple-double when he's 7 for 30 from the field? Like, this is – it's incredible how – like, this is like sliding under the radar, and it's about this missed dunk. Like, I can't imagine. I never thought, I looked it up today. Can you imagine a player shooting 30 times and only scoring 19 points? It's happened 6 times, and Russell Westbrook, that was the 6th time this ever happened. If you're missing, why don't you just pass to somebody else? I can't for the life of me understand how you could keep on jacking up shots in those type of situations. So that was, Houston is a very interesting team, like a Jekyll and Hyde type of team, but I just don't like watching. I'd much rather watch Portland and their struggles right now and the way they move the ball than watch Houston play, for sure.
Amen to that, man. I think Westbrook and Harden last night were combined like 18 for 70. what?
It's kind of disrespectful to the game. It really is.
It is, man. Barkley even had a great point last night. I was watching the postgame stuff on TNT, and he was like, man, if I played in Houston, I would just demand a trade. Like, would you do that? Like, if you're playing with these guys, watching them dribble the whole time, you'd be like, man, get me out of here. I want to go play somewhere where they're going to pass me the ball.
You know what's funny is Austin Rivers made shots. Clint Capella was 9 for 9 from the field.
Yeah.
And
PJ Tucker had a good night.
Was making shots. Ben McLemore was making shots. So, like, the only thing I would say is, like, I love being the role player with the superstar, can create, you know, all the attention, and I can get an open shot. Like, I love that, right? But I would always say, like, on nights where another guy has it going, don't you just kind of owe it to him for all those other nights when you're shooting all the shots? Don't you kind of owe it to the other guy? Like, hey, you know what? Let's wait till you're 4 for 12 before I stop passing you the ball. Not when you might be hot. And by the way, that last charge on James Harden, if you go watch the replay, PJ Tucker is wide open in the corner, and he doesn't get that shot. So I'm not saying the guys are going to demand a trade, but I could tell that they've lost their defensive edge that they had 3 years ago, and I think a lot of it has to do with that.
Yeah, amen to that, man. I thought the same thing last night watching those highlights and watching that game. I did want to ask you, too, and part of this, I think, plays into Portland in their disappointing season, but we came into this year, and I don't know if you did or not, so you can correct me if I'm wrong, but we at least out here came into the season thinking, man, the NBA is the most wide open it's been in a long time. Golden State's kind of down a little bit. Toronto lost Kawhi Leonard. Like, you know, the LA teams are going to be good, but they might take a while to gel. It feels like, man, we're 20 games into this thing, and it's Lakers, Clippers, Bucks. You know, it feels like that openness of the NBA is gone. Do you agree with that, and did you feel the same way coming into the year?
So, okay, I did feel the same way that you felt. But, okay, so here's the thing. It's really hard. Philadelphia 76ers, right? Like, I'm telling you, me, you, and three of your buddies, we can get together and play some pickup. And by the second game, I will tell you what you're good at, your buddies what they're good at, and we would have some continuity between us, right? I don't understand how the Sixers go out there and play. They practice every day. They watch film every day. They look like they just got together today. But with that being said, they're undefeated at home. So do I look at that as a negative? Yeah, kind of. Like, why are these guys still disorganized at this point in time? But is it sort of a positive that maybe, just maybe, they'll figure it out as the season goes along and they can challenge the Bucks? Another thing about Giannis, one of the best NBA player for 44 minutes, maybe even 46 minutes, but he still hasn't established that go-to shot, and we saw the difference between, like, having a guy like Kawhi Leonard, which when you start looking at, you can look at Toronto, maybe they don't have a guy either. Pascal Siakam may or may not be. Boston, Kemba Walker loves that moment. Jason Tatum seems to love that moment. So they're going to steamroll everybody in the regular season, because here's the difference. Giannis just plays super hard. He plays harder than any player in the NBA. He played as hard as Michael Jordan did back in the day, where he just flew around and every game was like a point to prove to the world that he got cut when he was a sophomore in high school and he was like trying to prove everybody wrong. Well,
right.
Giannis grew up on the street selling trinkets and CDs, and he feels like he's like one possession away from going back to that. So that stuff works in the regular season, but in the playoffs when everyone's playing hard, it's a little bit different. Are the Bucks the odds-on favorite? Absolutely. When you watch them play, you think that. But you still have to close out games. And if games are close, and, you know, like, I don't necessarily completely trust Giannis right now in a close game. So it does kind of open it up to what the NBA could be. As far as the Western Conference, it's a two-horse race.
Yeah.
I can't imagine any of those other teams beating the Lakers or the Clippers. And I'm leaning towards the Clippers because they're so tough defensively.
Yeah, it's amazing. Hey, great stuff. Brian Scalabrine, Radio.com Sports Insider. Brian Scalabrine, Insider Calls are brought to you by Midsize Metrics from Mercedes-Benz Vans. Make sure to check out his show, Scal and Pals, on Radio.com, the Radio.com app. Great listen for all NBA fans. Just search Scal whenever you find, wherever you find your podcast. Man, thanks so much for the time. We appreciate it here in Portland, and we'd love to have you on here again soon.
Anytime. I'll talk to you later.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.